Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Right now, the Supreme Court justices are meeting to decide in secret whether or not they're going to uphold all or part or strike down the government slash insurance slash megabank takeover of healthcare and the death panels and the eugenics and kill the babies up to age three that they're recommending. And if you just tune in for the first time, just before you think I'm lying, put it into a search engine. It's in hundreds of newspapers. I'm not joking. I understand that's crazy, but I'm not the crazy one. I've probably gone a little crazy focusing on this stuff. I know why a lot of people get into this information and then say, I just can't handle it and punch out completely. In fact, there's a lot of people, veterans, former CIA people, who do just basically retire early and disappear because they know what's going on inside the government and it totally flips them out. Outgoing people who were the top of their class, all American, and they just disappear into nowhere and just want to live in a shack and be left alone. Because when you come face to face with evil, you either join with it and sink to the bottom, or you fight it, or you just punch out of society. And some people, they just deny what's going on. I wish every day, because I've been trying to psychoanalyze myself and to understand the process I've gone through, it understands everybody's process to a certain extent. I mean, how have we gotten to the point where the out-of-control, galloping corruption, growing like a metastasizing, blooming cancer, how have we gotten to the point where this is all out in the open now? And some good things are happening, but not quite enough. I mean, you would imagine that there would be a much bigger response to this level of tyranny. We got a big radio show lined up for you today. Very big. I say that every day because it is. I mean, it's big issues, powerful news, important information. You know, the information on this transmission has already saved a lot of lives, stopped a lot of new conflicts, exposed a lot of tyranny. We're always so busy fighting the next globalist salvo that we never really go back and properly chronicle our successes. But more and more I realize that's something that's important for us to do as well, is to chronicle the info war, because it's a story of your success. 99% of the success we've had is you. I first put the idea into motion, and that idea was put into motion by others' actions, and now, like ripples in a pond, it's a cliche because it's so true. We are seeing exponential awakening, but that's going to have the byproduct of the empire striking back. And I just am very disquieted in my spirit. Everybody is, though. Because subconsciously and in your gut, you know you're under assault. You know things are wrong. You know things are unfair on so many levels. And you know that that's not why you have anxiety. There's something else ominous. And I look at all the big threats I see on the board, and I try to say, what is it that's getting to me? What is it? I know that something horrible is already happening, and we haven't discovered exactly what it is yet. All right, we'll get into the Supreme Court situation and a lot more on the other side of this Friday transmission. I'll tell you about the guest as well, or you go to InfoWars.com and read it right there.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It is Friday, the 30th day of March 2012. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. Fritz Springmeier is joining us to cover some ground he's never gotten into before here on the broadcast. He wants to get into suppressed globalist technologies. He also wants to break down how Nazi Germany is a model politically and economically for what's happening in this global order now. Because Hitler only got elected to a sub-position. He was only a minority leader in the government, and most Germans thought he was a joke. How did he end up taking control of the nation? Because when I invited Fritz on Monday, I said, I'm going to get you on Friday. He said, we told the producer, he said, okay, well, what does Alex want to talk about? And I said, whatever you want. Just you're an interesting fellow, great author, interesting researcher. Folks like hearing you on the show. So whatever you want to cover. Obviously, I'll bring up all my points. So he's joining us in the second hour. I want to get Dr. Doug Rocky, the guy that literally wrote the book for the Pentagon on depleted uranium in the 80s and again in the 90s, headed their DU program, research and mitigation program. He's got a bunch of degrees. He's a physicist, biology, the list goes on and on. Because now with Fukushima and things, we're being told you're mentally ill if you go to the hospital with radiation poisoning in Japan. It's on record that it's many times worse than Chernobyl. So in 86, they admitted, oh, this is killing people, making them sick. Kids are dropping dead, heart failure, that's what happens. Bleeding from the gums, chronic fatigue, super high radiation levels. Now they just say, we're not giving you medical care. And when I saw that in the news this week, it was in the Japanese news, Paul Watson wrote an article on it, I guess an English exclusive, English language exclusive globally. InfoWars does that a lot. I'm proud of the work of all our writers. But the point is that we're uncompartmentalizing the news. Something that is important to do, because you don't want it to just be regionalized around the world. Because when you see the Japanese government saying, you're mentally ill, here's Prozac, and then locking people up in mental institutions till they die of radiation poisoning, or if you're living in the area and you're saying, you make my child go to this public school, I want him to be able to go to one further away from Fukushima, you know, not 12 miles away, they say, you're mentally ill. And that's in the Japanese news, and they're going along with it. Yes, you're mentally ill. Remember, we were liars that reactors were blowing up, even though we could watch them and get the different radiological breakdown fingerprints off the different isotopes, and we knew there was total meltdown, including a plutonium reactor, which they had there, MOX-3. Number three reactor, MOX. MOX core reactor, plutonium and uranium. The most nasty type out there to have a problem with. Old, rotting, 39-year-old system that was supposed to only go 20 years. The radiation just eating through all the circuitry, the metal, everything. It's the same all over the world. On average, reactors are over 30 years old. 9 out of 10 are leaking. The Associated Press admits it in a small footnote. And the new attitude of the elite and the big bankers and the John Corzine types who make 40-to-1 bets with other people's private bank accounts and then doesn't get in trouble when he steals their accounts and loses the money. The attitude is just let the reactors blow up and melt down everywhere and just dance around in radiation. That's what I'm saying. They've reached a Caligula-level craziness. The elite is good at controlling us, dominating us, dumbing us down, manipulating. They've got all these automated propaganda systems set up in the last 60, 70 years by hardworking globalists who were evil but hardworking. And now it's just kind of a machine that's automated, and most of the elite are just prancing around like crazy people. And they're not going to shut reactors down because they're making money off of them and control. In fact, they're saying they're going to shut down more coal power plants and build more nukes. I know I've already gone over this rant before. It just goes to the heart of everything. That's why I'm having Doug Rocky pop in for 30 minutes, because that's what they started doing in 1991 when people were dying from the DU. And it was in their own handbooks, don't use it. Back to the 40s, they had DU. And they talked about using it, and Doug Rocky's quoted these. He has them on the websites he writes for. And he's ferreted out and dug all these up. These are declassified reports from 47, 49, 52, where they're like, yeah, we've got all this byproduct of nuclear weapons production and what's left over from reactors. It would make great armor, and it would also make great weapon systems. We've tested it, but it ignites going out of the barrel, and so you're getting a very dangerous dose of it every time you use it in artillery or in small arms or in missiles. I mean, it's all in these reports. Like, when I get him on, I'll have him dig one of those out. They also looked at a DU gas that they were looking at using but decided against. And they said no, because it kills our own troops. 1990 rolls around. They said, you know what? Tell them just, you know, wash their hands or whatever. And when you clean out the tanks, you know, wear special gear. By the mid-90s, it's just do whatever you want. By 2000s, there's not even a discussion. And people, sons and daughters, they call me all the time. They go, yeah, my son got assigned to maintenance of Abrams tanks, or got assigned to maintenance of aircraft and worked on Warthogs, A-10s. Yeah, my son got assigned to munitions. And yeah, he's 23 and he's got lung cancer and his kidneys are failing and it's DU. I mean, I've probably had, I don't know, 30, 40 calls in the last year or two. Rocky gets them every hour, because everybody in the military knows he's the one exposing it. He's had 30-something surgeries himself. Most of his team died just investigating it. And you know what they do now? They say, you're mentally ill. You come in, you're urinating blood, you can't breathe, you've got rashes, you and your wife have a deformed baby, holes in their brain, holes in their hearts, everything else you can imagine. This is on record. I mean, 15 years ago, it was the cover of Time Life books that DU caused it and all the scientists admitting it. Now they just go, nope, not true. And they have guys in there scrubbing out those barrel heads and all that. And I've talked to them. Sometimes they wear a respirator. I mean, you get that stuff on your skin, you're walking dead. Again, the establishment is crazy. They're crazy. People are ignorant about just how far down the rabbit hole we've gone here. All of us together. Like, I saw a few comments when I had Lyndon LaRouge on. He talked about the Pentagon developing antimatter weapons. They're like, listen to this old kook, because the media says he's a kook. They'd say George Washington was a kook today. They say Ron Paul's a kook. You know, he's talking about antimatter weapons. What a nut. They don't even know that there's declassified admissions of a 30-year antimatter weapon campaign, and that they isolated it and have the weapons for at least a decade. I mean, that's in the San Francisco Chronicle. You can look it up. The details are classified, but they've got antimatter weapons, and they wouldn't have leaked it if they didn't want the people to know it and other governments to know it. By the way, when you're talking about antimatter, you're talking about actually weapons that... something that's the size of a quarter, they estimate, in some of the studies I've seen, would blow the Earth into tiny particles. We're not talking about an asteroid belt or something where the Earth was. I mean, we're talking dust cloud, plasma vapor. We're not in Kansas anymore. And by the way, I've always said we're not in Kansas anymore. It's one of my favorite perseverations. It kind of ruined it when I saw Avatar. That is a powerful film. And he's like, you are not in Kansas anymore. Out there past that fence, everything that walks, crawls, or squats in the mud wants to kill you and eat your eyes for juju beans. By the way, Aaron, I ended up shooting like 30 minutes of footage and like 30 minutes or more of voiceover to put together this I did all this last Friday, and then again Sunday we worked on it, to put together this sneak peek at Prometheus, the big movie coming out by one of my favorite directors, Ridley Scott, probably the best out there, living director. Very talented, very smart guy. And Aaron ended up going down the rabbit hole on that. And it's not going to be ready for the radio show today. It should be ready. He says it will be tonight on the nightly news, 7 o'clock Central. And it's very important information because what's going to be revealed, and Aaron knew some of this and had seen a lot of it in his eugenic studies, and Jacobson's really into studying it. And then Aaron went down the rabbit hole and was like, oh my gosh, this is really worse than we even said. And so he's back there trying to figure out how to put it all in, what we discovered. People running things are out of their minds. Or maybe they're right. I mean, not right about what they're doing, but the dominant theme, when you think the elite are into the occult, that just means the hidden. The elite believe that they are communicating with extraterrestrials spiritually at a dimensional level. And it goes back to every culture, every society, and whether it's true or not, that's what they believe. It's pretty much what David Icke is saying, but and then some. That's why every movie you see, it's like the John Carter movie I went and saw. Everybody says it's so bad. I thought it was entertaining. You know, it's like Mars and people being teleported and this race of beings playing humanoids off against each other. That's the elite think they're that. And so I'm not saying I believe that. I'm saying this is what they believe. We'll come back with the news. Stay with us. Max Kaiser's coming up too today. I've got some reports here I want to get to about how close we are to the cashless society and how that's going to be used to shut down the grassroots community infrastructure even more and only allow big box stores to operate. Government regulations and systems are going to try to shut down small operators online as well. That's why they're going after farmers, ranchers, anything small, anything independent. Speaking of that, I've read over the new Michigan regulations on livestock, and all heritage breed pigs that have any type of dark hair or red hair, just because they look like what any breed of pig reverts to once it's gone wild, they're going to kill all the pigs in Michigan. And I know all about pigs from a farming and ranching family, and I also go to the livestock shows with my children. I mean, the pigs I saw at the Texas Austin Rodeo would have all been killed under this. Confirmed Michigan pig ban will eliminate all heritage breeds, destroy thousands of small farms, and they get to charge the people with felonies. If they and I read this on the air the other day. It says any characteristic or characteristic not recognized by science as being attached to feral. It says just anybody we want, you know, any farm, any pig, it doesn't matter. We will come on your property, kill it, and charge you criminally. People are like, but that doesn't make any sense. They don't care. The public's worried about feral hogs that have gotten out and bred. Instead of killing those, it's we're going to go after people that have pigs that could get out. It's a psycho government. I mean, they just, it's so over the top. People are like, this doesn't make sense. Yeah, it does. It's hands down your pants one day. Arrest people, eliminate stands the next. No gardens the next. And it's all being announced. We have a government that basically is trying to do everything that Joseph Stalin did. As many natural news readers now know, this article's up at Infowars.com or naturalnews.com, the state of Michigan's Department of Natural Resources, DNR, recently issued a final ruling, a ruling. They rule us, not law. The agency rules you. On its invasive species order, ISO, for swine that targets destructive feral. See, the UN has always said that's how they're going to ban cats, dogs, cows they call invasive. See, that's the rest of the story. They said, how are we going to shut down family farms? We're going to say all of this is unnatural and bad to the environment and try to go back to the way North America was or Europe was pre-domesticated animals. You think I'm joking? Like 10 years ago telling you the bioethics board said they want to kill babies up to age 3. Now it's mainstream news. Okay? This is, you go read it for yourself. That's the plan. In fact, type in animal rights group wants to ban owning cats and dogs. I mean, it'll be or wants to ban farm animals as invasive species. I mean, and Europe is looking at this. This isn't a game. As many natural news readers now know, the state of Michigan's Department of Natural Resources recently issued a final ruling on its invasive species order, ISO, for swine that targets destructive feral species. Not feral hogs that are just the regular pig, different variants, like dogs. It's like saying, you know, this is like saying your German Shepherd, because it's related to wolves, has to be killed. That's exactly what this is. Or your poodle. And it's meant to selectively harass the farmers. And see, big pork production are the ones all in all 50 states, just like they banned real milk 60 years ago nationwide. Well, they banned it from stores. First, they just got it regulated. Then they started getting it banned so they could feed you boiled, cooked, so-called milk that was filled with pus and feces. See, when it's raw, fresh milk, there can't be any contamination or they can't get away with it. So they just get rid of real milk so the counterfeit can come in. And now Big Agra, by the way, they're coming out saying invasive chickens. Your chickens roost in trees, come up to your house, get fed, you take eggs, you sell them. They don't want chickens out in the open. They can start roosting. Oh, I forgot. Let me give Natural News a tip to do another big report. They're coming after all different types of game hens and things, including pheasants. They're saying they don't want those released. And it just goes on here. Anything that has red or black hair or spots of hair or anything else, they say. I mean, they say anything we wish. I mean, you can go read it for yourself. It just says any pig we say, even if it's not in the scientific literature, that's a sign of being feral. It's dead. So it's feral species. Folks, that feral species of pig is the domesticated pig.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Let me just finish up with this article on the pigs, and then I'm going to get into government-run health care and the Supreme Court set to rule today, but they're going to keep it secret until June. This is something that's going to cost trillions of dollars a year. Some estimates have it upwards of $2 trillion. This is one of the biggest issues ever, and they're going to keep it secret until June while they write their opinion. You better believe government and industry are going to know, and something this big is going to leak. And again, the folks thought they weren't going to pass the Health Care Act, and Paul said they've got the votes in the House months before. He said, I think it's going to pass. And then he said last week that, unfortunately, he's hearing rumblings that they're probably going to rule for it. And I saw a bunch of articles getting conservatives ready for that. And then we saw the articles saying that the Supreme Court's going to go against it and that they sounded like they weren't buying it in the oral arguments a few days ago. And I, you know, read the transcripts of the audio tapes the Supreme Court released, which is unprecedented, and it's all the points we'd make. If the government can make you do this, they can make you eat broccoli. If the government can make you buy somebody's product and then selectively give waivers to groups that they are friends with, that's total discrimination. All right, I'm going to get to that in a minute. If you think I'm joking about this feral hog thing, that's like saying we have a problem with coyotes. So we're going to come by your neighborhood, and any dog that looks anything like a coyote, we're going to kill in your house. And then you read the description and they say it's anything. It's a dog with curly hair. It's a little dog. It's a big dog. That's what they say in the descriptions. They're not saying we're going to kill feral hogs. We're going to have an eradication program and get the citizens together and explain to citizens, because a lot of people, even people that hunt, don't think you can shoot these pigs. And they ask, is there a season in all this idiocy? There's no season on an invasive species that does eat the baby deer, that does tear up your farms, your crops. I mean, they're devastating. A group of 100 feral hogs will come through your field and just wreck everything. Even if they're not eating the crop you're growing, say cotton, like bulldozers with their snouts and tusk, they just turn everything over. And any pig in a year or so out in the wild starts growing tusk. It's the rooting that stimulates the teeth. And hair starts growing and all the rest of it. Just like if you went out and lived in the wild for a couple of years, you'd look like Grizzly Adams. Your skin would get thicker. You'd get a big old beard, long hair. You'd get tougher. And this is such an example of the craziness of government, is why I'm getting into it, that they're saying, we're going to come to your farm, and if there's any characteristic, such as black or red hair, or any other sign that it could be connected to these feral varieties, we're going to kill them on the spot with rifles. Go read it. We have links to it. This is a ruling, and we're going to arrest you and charge you with felony crimes. And the farming groups and everybody are like, are you crazy? Let me read you some of this. Contrary to some of the claims currently spreading across the internet and elsewhere, DNR ISO does not simply target feral breeds responsible for destroying crops or forests. As we pointed out in a recent article on the matter, the ISO brands certain hair colors, fur types, tail, skeletal structures, and various other characteristics as being indicators of feral breed. Again, it's the same as a pig, but they call it a breed, like with dogs. Even though these descriptions also identify many heritage breeds that have been raised in Michigan for many decades. Well, yeah, and they say in the ruling they're going to come to your property, and if you have them, they're going to put fines on you or arrest you. So it's just a new way for the whole military-industrial complex that ships the drugs in so they can then catch people selling them, because making it illegal has huge profits associated. And then next it's your aloe vera plantation. They're going to say that's a drug. And next, you can't grow hemp that doesn't even have THC in it for cotton, hemp cotton, hemp fabric. And then next, oh, you can't have a garden. And then next, on and on. Now they move on to, you got to have animal ID, premises ID. You got to have inspections. You got to have the rural affairs do this. Certain hair colors, fur types, tails, skeletal structures, and various other characteristics as being indicators of a feral breed. Even though these descriptions also identify many heritage breeds that have been raised in Michigan for decades. In other words, there is nothing sensational or overblown about the claims made that the state of Michigan has basically declared war on all pig breeds, despite the select few raised by large-scale factory farms. The DNR's approach to the situation is beyond misguided. It is blatantly unscientific, an assault on small-scale pig farmers across the state of Michigan, many of which face being completely put out of business. The DNR's thinking is irrational, writes Senator Darwin L. Boer from Michigan's 35th District, in a recent article on the issue. The department says that we must ban certain pigs because the state has a feral hog problem. And see, the public is so dumb that when they hear, well, of course we got to kill the feral pigs. Yeah, I've shot plenty of them myself. Instead of that, they're saying we're going to go after and start inspecting your breed. As if you're the people causing this. Pigs have just been getting out for hundreds of years. And the wolves and other predators have been culled too far back, so nothing's keeping the pigs down. And when you drive down the highway and see them all over Texas now, sometimes you see more pigs than deer on the side of the road. Nobody's shooting them. And it goes on. The department says we must ban certain pigs because the state has a feral hog problem. Pigs running at large or outside a fence. But since all pigs outside of a fence are feral and the DNR cannot genetically differentiate between swine, the department decided to ban certain pigs in Michigan simply due to their appearance. So they have a new way to harass you. And it just goes on to say, the senator says there's a way to harass and arrest people and make money. Yep, here they come. They're never backing off. They're never stopping. There's always something new they can make illegal. And they're already talking about not letting you have free-range chickens because they might get out. They might go and take biosphere from some other animal. All right, let me shift gears into government-run healthcare. They're ruling on it right now. It may have already happened. And it's up in the air what's going to unfold. Supreme Court decision on healthcare. Again, they're announcing that it's officially will be today now. They were saying earlier in the week this week. It's now today. And it's also reported that it will not be announced until late June because they have to write the decision. Well, if they do not strike the whole thing down, we are in deep trouble because the whole thing has to be struck down. And the fact that Obama argued that through his lawyers, White House lawyers, that yes, we can also give waivers to whoever we want, that is even more tyrannical. And I've already talked a lot about that. It's just unprecedented to not only have a government mandate on healthcare written by the insurance companies, it allows the insurance companies and banks that own them to set policy through federal computer systems that will tell doctors and nurses the procedures they can do, just like the VA, taking that power out of the doctor that knows best at that point what procedure needs to be taken care of. And it cuts off the money at certain ages. And Biden wrote in his book, we're not going to give grandma eye surgery after 65. And you're not going to get heart surgery. You just need to go home and die. This is their plan. This is what they're planning. And the rationing of healthcare is what goes on in Canada and in England and in Europe and in Cuba. Everywhere they've got this, this is for eugenics. This is so the eugenicist can decide. And so healthcare isn't a free market thing. Healthcare should be completely deregulated. Buyer beware. And you go and get whatever you do research and decide, and people will quickly discover who's got the best systems, and that will accelerate medicine. But no, it's big pharma, which are all eugenicists on record, who have the regulations written, were Bayer for 11 years. I always say a decade. It was 11 years. Could ship out in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the U.S., millions of dosages of factor VIII blood product, platelets, sifted out of blood that they'd mix all the different types together, knowing it was coming from prisons. Bill Clinton was one of the big ones making money off of it. They would sell drugs to the prisoners, and they would give the blood every week until some of them died. Doctors blew the whistles. I had them on. They got firebombed. Oh, yeah, I got firebombed. Robbed, firebombed. Have the Hemophilia Society on. Talking about it, and a week later they get robbed. This is my life. This is the government. I remember that happened in like 99. I tried to call and get those doctors back on. They're like, nope, I'm getting death threats. They firebombed us. They robbed the Hemophiliac Society. We're done. I gave it to Congress. I gave it to the states. Nobody did anything. I'm done. That was a doctor who was working in the prisons. And they knowingly shipped it out to millions of people. Well, it was millions of dosages. It was hundreds of thousands of people. Factor VIII that they knew had HIV and multiple forms of hepatitis, you name it, a death warrant, murder. And it came out that Bayer knew and said, ship it. They didn't just do that because they wanted the money. Do you know about Bayer Pharmaceutical? Do you know about their history? You might want to go look into them. Nazis. Yeah. Bayer. And where did they learn everything they knew? Oh, England, the eugenicist. It's all the eugenicist. And that's why yesterday, whenever one of my IT people, one of six, great crew member, was called in by the FBI, because a year ago he did some websites for the biggest bar owners in town who've been arrested. Government claims they're involved in narcotics and stuff. And they call him in, and I said, you do whatever you want, but if they bring me up and start saying you're a criminal and trying to associate with me, look out. And sure enough, it went into that, them trying to turn him into some type of informant and telling him he's a criminal when he'd done nothing. That's why he went in there. He's like, well, I haven't done anything. I'll just go in there and talk to him. And then it turned around to me, and that's why I went on air and said, don't you dare think about trying to turn my employee into some type of informant for you and then set me up. We're looking for that. And whether or not they really are criminals, these particular FBI agents, I don't know. I've got their names. I got to look into them. All I know is you work for a Justice Department that shipped guns into Mexico that have killed thousands of people conservatively in Mexico, hundreds on this side. Six law enforcement people, three Border Patrol, three police. Last time I checked, it's always growing. That's what we know. And no one got in trouble. And the government ships the drugs in on record. And we just had a piece of equipment or something go out. That was weird. I just got some feedback. So all of that is going on. And so it's like the time the FBI was calling me about some stuff on the message board, comments. And it's like, why are you bringing up the Obama deception to me? Why? I mean, you're wanting to know about somebody who made comments on the website. If you want to get those records, get a subpoena. And they did. Why are you using this as a dragnet into my life? I'm not doing anything wrong. Even though you guys are constantly passing kangaroo laws to grab as many of us in your net as you can, even with all the laws the way they are, I sat there this morning and thought, is there anything I'm doing wrong? And I'm like, no. Speeding? It doesn't matter. The system will make up whatever they want. That's why I'm not for the death penalty anymore. I believe child molesters, killers need to be executed. But you can't trust a government that we've now learned in some cases more than a third of the people on death row are totally innocent and the system knows. It came out from a prosecutor in Round Rock that this guy had been in jail for decades and they knew who the killer was, but for their careers, they just said, keep the innocent person in jail. And then when it came out, they did it. This is just north of Austin, where I live. No one even got in trouble. I mean, that's why I don't trust any of you. That's why I expect the worst, because the system wants to make us think we're the bad people and we've all done something wrong. Meanwhile, they're the group that has to be watched. They're the group that can't be trusted. Government is like fire. It's a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You know, I see encouraging signs like the judge for the second time in a row saying release Hatari. They were totally set up, that militia. I knew that day one. It's a shake and bake setup deal just to demonize the Second Amendment and freedom and to create an atmosphere of the government waging war on the American people. That's a good sign. A bunch of states are passing laws or have already passed laws saying police don't secretly arrest citizens, don't help the feds. In fact, arrest feds if you see them doing it. Kidnapping's illegal. I mean, that's government kidnapping under NDAA. People are taking action. If the Supreme Court rules that this is unconstitutional, man, I'm, you know, I want to win. I want to turn things around. I want to believe the FBI is good. I want to believe my local police are good. Show me. Show me. I haven't seen a lot of that in my life. All I see is a system always trying to treat me like I've done something. I can't fly to see family and people with my children because I don't want men grabbing my daughter's and my son's genitals. That's a no-brainer. It turned out the TSA has files on me and others. Bob Barr's got the intel suing over it. And I'm called an extremist and dangerous because I don't want my children molested. I mean, come on. Sanity is not a crime. Legalize freedom. And I, you know, the Supreme Court did rule the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment. They added a little proviso that there could be some regulation. But, I mean, it wasn't a total attack. So we can win this thing, but we got to recognize good from evil. Dr. Doug Rocky's coming up, Max Kaiser and Fritz Springmeier at the 5 After. But right now, I want to show you one of the best places to go on Infowars.com. It's the RSS feed. I've had it for like a decade. I never really talk about it enough. I'm going to go ahead and put that RSS feed up on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers because I want to just read over some of these headlines for folks. Every day, a new elitist fairy tale. Now they want Earth Hour, where they make you pause and get government brainwashing. Can't make that up. Why would Health and Human Services and every other subsection of Homeland Security, that's right, there's 30-plus agencies under Homeland Security, be buying bullets? They've bought 450-plus million of one caliber of hollow points. Also, exclusive, Iran helps Syria ship oil to China. Concern over National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order. Army officially reprimands soldier who spoke at Ron Paul rally. Mysterious Clintonville booms caught on tape. First they said they didn't exist, then they said they were earthquakes, now they say just go to sleep. Flashpoint funding. UK doubles Syria rebel cash flow. People that launch missiles and work with Al-Qaeda and blow up police stations are called protesters by Anderson Cooper. And it just continues on from there. Again, another article. Disarming America. Homeland Security buys up ammo supplies. Confirmed. Michigan pig ban will affect your domesticated pig. Barbaric abortion policies in China. I have an incredible report on that. Cashless society may be closer than most people would ever dare to know. Big article on that, breaking down how close it is. That is just some of what is coming up. We also have some of the Infowars.com reporter contest videos. Some of the first submissions have gone up because so much of what we cover ends up scrolling off the front page as we're posting so much. It goes into the archives and it goes into Infowars.com/feed. We'll put that back on screen for folks. Infowars.com/feed. F-E-E-D. Infowars.com/feed. And I think we're going to put a link up at the top that just says RSS feed because it's just such a good way to see everything that we've put in the featured news area. Probably 30 articles a day. Just go through there, whatever we think is most important. Here's some more good news. Court hears arguments in lawsuit against Obama indefinite detention law. Judge asks government lawyers if NDAA can be used on ordinary citizens. I love how the judge is playing this game. The bill says it can be used on ordinary citizens and even non-terror related for any reason. You can be disappeared, killed, tortured. It's all there. It's on record that that's what it says. We had a whole debate about that. People people can't believe this is happening. So we have to have a debate about that when it's admitted. And now the president said he wouldn't sign it, but he did. But he says he won't use it. But the power's there. And so now Chris Hedges, Pulitzer Prize winner, who's been on the show, I want to get him back on, a real liberal. You can say what you want about his policies and ideas, but he has attacked Obama. Obama's done everything Bush did and more. All you conservatives that love Bush, you should love Obama. Wars, torture, secret arrest, spying, police state. And by the way, a lot of Republicans do like Obama. I saw a bunch of so-called conservative publications come out when Drudge did that article about how it's martial law with this executive order. And they're like, oh, this has been on the books since the 50s. Yeah, when we're under nuclear attack, martial law, not for any emergency or the threat of an emergency, including civil or economic. And Mother Jones is out making fun of myself and others that Obama's not taking liberties.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've seen a lot of announcements the last year or two about world leaders calling for global government and global taxes. Biden has come out. We have a quote coming up in the next segment. We want to create a global minimum tax, which means global standardization. And that's what the Organization of Economic Cooperative Development is also calling for. So what they want is to raise taxes globally. They say the average tax that they want worldwide is about 85% federal. You can look that up. Of course, then they're all mega bankers exempt from it all, just like they're exempt from the healthcare mandate. So that's how they operate. So that is coming up. We're going to be talking about the police state with Fritz Springmeier and his research into that coming up in the next segment. Again, court hears arguments in lawsuit against Obama indefinite detention law. Judge asks government lawyers if NDAA can be used on ordinary citizens. A federal court in New York heard arguments Thursday for a preliminary injunction against the National Defense Authorization Act. The bill signed by Obama that legislates for the indefinite detention of American citizens without trial. Just like justices this week asked the White House lawyers, they said, okay, you're saying you won't use this mandate to make people eat broccoli, but you could under this, so let's just take that out. They're like, no, we don't want to take that out. But you said you're not going to use it. And you say you're not going to give people waivers anymore, but you want to keep that in there. You see, if something is on the books that's illegal, you got to get it off. Like, oh, the government wants something on the books that they can roast children, but only on blue moons and only if they wear pink napkins while they do it. You know, something ridiculous like that. It's like, well, it is in law that the White House can have a barbecue once a year on a blue moon and roast children. But guys, will you pull up the definition of a blue moon? There is such a thing as a blue moon. Two full moons in 1 month. There you go. So, it's on the books. You're like, well, take that you can roast children on blue moons off the thing. We're not going to use it. We're not going to use it. We'll take it off then. Well, we might use it. That's what they said at the Supreme Court. Of course they demanded this be in there and went through all the pressure in Congress to get it. U.S. District Judge Catherine Forrest heard testimony from seven witnesses, including MIT professor Noam Chomsky, Pentagon Papers source Daniel Ellsberg, and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, author, and Middle East expert Chris Hedges. Hedges himself filed a class action lawsuit claiming that the indefinite detention provision of the legislation, otherwise known as the Homeland Battlefield Bill, could see him sent to Guantanamo Bay simply for doing his job, and at the very least would have a chilling effect on the work of journalists and activists. Yeah, Obama is targeting journalists everywhere and arresting them for talking to whistleblowers that expose crime. He has the most secretive administration. He's engaged in all these crimes. He's spying without warrants on citizens. It's all admitted. It's all illegal. And then what do you get? I could spend all day on this. Mother Jones. The rights Obama martial law fail. No, President Obama is not coming to steal your house and take all the food out of your fridge. Really, there's not executive orders to confiscate hoarded food. There's not executive orders FEMA expanding the floodplains, taking homes. There's not, government's not raising taxes and bankrupting people. The IRS isn't taking homes. And their argument is, well, there's been provisions for decades for martial law. He just is updating it. Yeah, not for nuclear attack, but for any reason, including the threat of emergency. And then Mother Jones points to WorldNet Daily whitewashing it and points to Michelle Malkin whitewashing it and says, see, even they know. No, they don't know. And I'm not attacking WorldNet Daily. The point is, they had an article saying, well, these experts say it's no big deal. You know, this has been on the books a long time. Yeah, like the Patriot Act wasn't going to be used on citizens, and now it is. Been on the books a long time. Slavery was on the books for hundreds of years. Does that make it okay?
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
There is a sickening article that I was just mentioning in the last segment in Mother Jones saying, oh, it's been debunked. This executive order Obama signed, you know, it's been around for 60 years. He just reauthorized it. It's no big deal. Alex Jones is bad. Why, even look, Michelle Malkin is saying Jones is wrong. Michelle Malkin, I've had her on, saying that she is for arresting all the Arabs and putting them in concentration camps, Muslims. That she thinks that all of that is basically reasonable and good. Well, she wrote a book called The Case for Internment. Yeah, it was reasonable to grab all those Japanese. It was reasonable to have them disappear. It was reasonable to do all that and take their property. See, what happens is you don't get told you're right when everything you talk about comes true. What happens is people just say, okay, they're spying on us without warrants. Head of the CIA says that. Okay, they're secretly arresting people. What's the big deal? You're bad. You're like, no, before you said this would never happen. Now it's happening. You know, they're telling us torture's good, secret arrest. Obama says, I'm against that secret arrest provision. I want it out. Turns out he demanded it be in, and then only he have the power. And then he said he wouldn't sign it, and of course he did sign it. It's all, and so I'm still having debates with people about, Obama didn't sign that. Just like people would say, Bush didn't, is it for the assault weapons ban? You know, back 4 or 5 years ago. And I'd say, yeah, he was. Shut up, you liar. And I'd go, no, he really was for it. They just can't believe that their political hero, that their political rock star would be lying to them because they're into the con game. They're into being conned. They're into being, I've seen people that have gotten involved in Ponzi schemes. I've had people, friends, and even distant family years ago who are like, yeah, this Nigerian prince wants to give me $1 million. I'm like, that's a Nigerian email scam. And they're like, no, it isn't. It's real. I just give them 5,000. I get $1 million. And I'm like, you're not going to get your money back. It's a scam. Please let me show you. They're like, nope, you're just jealous that I've got this opportunity. And I'm like, okay. And are they ever sorry later that you were right? No. The more you're right, the worse you are. The more you're proven right, people never say, oh, wow, he was right about that. They just move on to the next thing. And that's part of this delusional garbage that's going on. But what about the NDAA? What about the Patriot Act being used against non-terror-related groups like we told you it would? What about all the secret arrests? What about arresting people for filming police? What about the TSA? What about the checkpoints everywhere now? What about the CIA involved domestically? What about the torture? What about arresting hundreds of reporters who talk to whistleblowers about government corruption? Obama has probably 5,000-fold. I mean, reporters say it's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times what Bush did, just going after reporters, going after free speech, arresting people, just everything. And real liberals, say what you want about them, but they're consistent in their ideology and expose Obama for being a fascist globalist, like Noam Chomsky, Chris Hedges, and others. They're having to sue because they could be arrested for the type of people they talk to under NDAA. And does Mother Jones come out and talk about their case? No. Mother Jones comes out and says, The rights Obama martial law fail. No, President Obama is not coming to steal your house and take all the food out of your fridge. I mean, these wartime executive orders and are for work brigades, organizing the economy, taking over the economy, taking over communications, taking over food, hoarding rules. It's all there. The point is Obama's got it out of mothballs, a nuclear attack scenario, and is firing it up and announcing FEMA Corps with high school kids. And I went and looked it up years ago before they even announced it. It was called Secure Corps, part of AmeriCorps. Same thing. Now they call it FEMA Corps. And it is warrant service, homeland security, and protecting your community, eagle eye programs. It's spies. I mean, I get attacked by Mother Jones a few years ago for saying that Obama wants a national draft. I have C-SPAN with Rahm Emanuel, at the time White House chief of staff. I have Obama in tapes. I mean, I've played them saying, yeah, you'll all be required to serve in high school and then so many months, a year after that until you're 25, and it'll be basic training at military bases, but it's going to be domestic. And they'll come out and say, I'm lying about that, hoping you don't go watch the video on C-SPAN. I'm sick of it. All right. The rest of the hour and end of the hour, next hour, 5 minutes, is Fritz Springmeier. He joins us, author, lecturer, researcher, and also political prisoner. If anybody ever got set up for bank robbery, no criminal record, you know, West Point, whole nine yards, and then they start raiding and constantly trying to dig up stuff on him, trying to make stuff up on him. And he keeps beating all their fake charges, so they just have a bunch of informants with big criminal records 1,000 feet long. They could have an informant show up here and say, I robbed a bank. And they got juries that are kept, 98% conviction rate, most of them getting narcotics money. These federal juries, send me to prison. They got federal juries that would gas a newborn baby for working with Adolf Hitler. You'd say, but jury, the baby wasn't alive until an hour ago. They're like, I don't care. FBI says gas them, gas them. That's the crook government we've got, okay? Now, continuing here, by the way, we do sell Fritz Springmeier's book. Wasn't even in print anymore. And we got it printed, and they're available at Infowars.com discounted. We also have it available with Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, Order of Death. Two films. I think it's discounted like $10, or is it $5? I forget what I did. Two of my films, if you get the films with the book at Infowars.com, or you can call 888-253-3139, and it gets info weapons into your hands, and it also funds our operation. But Bloodlines Illuminati, back in print, available at Infowars.com right now. Fritz, since you wanted to get into Nazi Germany and parallels to how Hitler took over to what's happening here today, I thought I would just first talk about the incredible police state we live under. And because it's been done incrementally, it's like, well, yeah, they will secretly arrest you and kill you, but that's not a police state. Look at this crazy guy, Alex Jones, Mother Jones says. He, you know, Alex Jones doesn't like torture or secret arrest. I mean, he's a loon, Fritz Springmeier.
Yes. Thank you for the privilege to be on your show. And this is a great topic today because it's something that's affecting all of us. It's this police state. And I just want to build upon what you've been talking about in the last 10 minutes, which was you did such a good job of describing all of these things that are happening around us, you know, like the FEMA Corps and the rest. If we don't look at history, and I love history. I love to go back and examine things. If we don't look at history, as they say, then we're forced to repeat it. We have a good example of how a police state can be created successfully. The Nazis needed a consensus for their government to work, and yet a large share of the German people had strong reservations about the policies of the Nazis. They didn't believe their cosmology and a lot of their other
They were force-fed it.
Yeah, and what was the bottom line, the main tool that the Nazis were able to establish that gave them the social control to carry out their policies? And what it turns out is when you examine things, and the same dynamics are working today, and you've been describing some of them, the same dynamics that allowed the Nazis to have success are happening today, and those are what I wanted to talk about. The most important tool that they had was denunciation. Now, another popular word would be snitching. But snitching has the connotation that you're actually informing the police on a real criminal. So I want to use the word denunciation, and that is where you become an informant, where citizens are turned into the eyes and ears of the police state, and they start turning in people as a thought police. That's what happened in Nazi Germany. And how did they manage to get that to happen? And how is it happening here in this country? My son, in 1990, was going to a Protestant school, and I found out that he was secretly being taught in the classroom in a Christian parochial school, nonetheless, to spy on his parents. And when I asked the teacher, well, who started all of this? She said, well, she got her training at Monmouth Teachers College, at the Teachers College here in Oregon, and that's how they train the teachers. So even in Christian schools, the teachers are being trained and certified by the state, and they already, for quite a few years, have been training our students to spy on their adults. Having been in prison, I'm very conversant with the prison population, and I can categorically, without a doubt, say that the majority of convictions, the majority of indictments and convictions being done in this country are being done on the basis of tip-offs, denunciation, snitching. It is not done by police investigation.
They have child molesters and murderers who will go call out a preacher with no record, and the jury sends them to jail. I mean, they use professional liars who are known criminals to testify.
Right. There was even a company to help them do that. It was called Conviction Consultants Incorporated. You would rent a rat, and the government would pay these rats about $250,000 to come in and lie through this company, Conviction Consultants.
Yeah, that's how they do it. I mean, they could. Look, folks, you just have to understand, this system has no credibility. The Dallas police have been caught just pulling people over, throwing bags of chalk in the back of their car randomly to take their property. They're not even ripping off drug dealers.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a nine. So fine.
The author of Bloodlines of the Illuminati is our guest. Fritz Springmeier joins us. And then look at this little headline here. The Atlantic. The hero. That's right. Rob Jacobson earlier brought me the Atlantic. This is like the establishment liberal publication. They sent one of their head guys down here a few years ago. They never did an article on me. They just wanted to check me out. But I met and talked to the guy for about 4 hours. I'm not going to even get into it. The point is that it says that he's the hero. Ben Bernanke saved the global economy. So why does everybody hate him? And then you open it up to the third page that has the rundown of what's in the magazine, The Atlantic, and it's all about how great Rahm Emanuel is and how he's saving us. I mean, aren't we lucky to have Ben Bernanke and other heroes like Rahm Emanuel? I mean, what a joke. He fronts for the private Federal Reserve that engineered the global implosion by design and created the derivatives. I mean, he should be in chains. Should one of the other big architects of this, John Corzine, I mean, caught perjuring, caught stealing masses of money, worse than Bernie Madoff, don't get in trouble. And then they have their publications tell us how great they are. And the average nitwit walking around in a grocery store sees this and thinks, the hero! I mean, that's like saying Jeffrey Dahmer's a hero. so over the top. This is a short segment, Fritz. Long one coming up. Please continue with the point you were getting to about the snitch society. I don't think people know that it's come out that police departments are even telling how their officers how to lie on the stand about people. And I guess until you've experienced it, you just don't realize how evil the system's getting. I'm not saying all police do it or all systems do, but I'll guarantee you, and it's on record, the FBI and others certainly do.
So true. How did the Nazis achieve their remarkable success in getting this consensus? When they took over power, when they were voted into office, they started applying brutality and terror. The police. Now, these police forces were officers in general that were inherited from the Weimar Republic. They weren't Nazis. But a lot of people will follow whatever they think is a legal government. So you have a lot of people today that don't realize how illegal our government is and how so many of the laws and things that they're doing are illegal. So they blindly think that whatever's been said, they need to follow. So what you had in Nazi Germany was it wasn't important that the rank and file of the government and the Gestapo believed. Most of the Gestapo were actually not hardcore Nazis. What they were police officers that believed in following the legal government. And so what you have people doing is cooperation, or in German, Gleichschaltung. This Gleichschaltung, this cooperation, is all that they need. So it's more important that the government has a party line. That's that they establish a party line, because they know that a lot of people, just like today, will cooperate with that, whether they wholeheartedly believe it or whether they have reservations or not. They will excuse that following it by saying, well, that's who's boss, and that's the will of the people, you know. We voted Hitler into power, blah, blah, blah. When I went to West Point, I was shocked, because it was at the tail end of the Vietnam War, and this wasn't a scientific poll, but from talking with my classmates, the majority of them did not believe in the Vietnam War. You know, the Vietnam War was very unpopular, even with the officer cadets. But what was scary to me was all of those classmates that were against the war were quite willing to go over and be officers in Vietnam if that's what their orders were. In other words, they're setting their conscience up on a shelf with the excuse that this is what I've been told to do. That's a little frightening.
That's right. I was just following orders syndrome. Well, the Nuremberg Code shows, we're going to come back and get into this because it's the heart of the problem we face, that just following orders doesn't cut it. Fritz Springmeier is our guest, author of Bloodlines, The Illuminati. We're going to continue looking at how a nation is seduced by evil and how following orders, when it's clearly corrupt and immoral, is the road to absolute hell. We'll be back with Fritz Springmeier. Stay with us.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Author, researcher, Fritz Springmeier is our guest. He's breaking down how the Nazis were able to do a couple things. Bully the general public into shutting up via fear and peer pressure of being shouted down. But also get the military and the police structure to follow orders incrementally. And they firebombed the Reichstag building shortly after Hitler got elected, and then used that to get more power. He didn't get elected with a majority vote, though. He got into one of the houses of parliaments, because they have a president and a chancellor. And then after the Reichstag and von Hindenburg was sick, it had a stroke, then they merged the two and he became the Führer to keep everybody safe from the terrorist that blew up the Capitol. Blow up the Capitol, become supreme ruler. So that's why you've always got to look when somebody blows up the Capitol. Okay, who stands to gain from this one? But Hermann Göring was there within minutes. Of course, he was the one running around with the troops pouring gasoline everywhere. It later was declassified. Running around to catch the bad guy, a homeless person they drugged and had naked, screaming and yelling, who supposedly broke into the whole Capitol and poured gasoline and incendiary weapons everywhere. And again, it's this following orders. Hitler also created the SA that was like a goon force of not really police and military, because they couldn't get the police and military early on to do all the stuff they wanted, who would just go beat you up as a gang, or who would then enforce on you. And of course, he culled those guys after he fully came to power. And the establishment actually liked that because they were disgusted by the TSA type folks. But that's what this is all about. And they just create a culture. Look at all the cop shows, all the movies where the cops are always good. The FBI is always good. There might be government corruption, but it's a rogue group. No, the people on top are the crooks. Then you do have good people in police and FBI at the lower levels generally. But they're compartmentalized, need to know. And look at Fast and Furious. Look at what that shows us. Shipping guns into Mexico. The media's like, why? It wasn't just selling them at gun shops. It was shipping them to Mexico. It was giving them to drug gangs in Florida. It was giving them to groups in Illinois and Texas and running stings with fake IDs that were real IDs, but fake issued by the government to shut down people legally selling guns. They just want to shut down good people. They want to dominate. Going back to Fritz Springmeier, you were bringing this up because of all the subjects you could have raised today. I think this is a good one you picked, but why raise this point?
Well, I'm building upon, there's a whole bunch of things that you said that I can build upon.
Go.
One of the earlier things that you mentioned was about magazines and so forth. And that's what happened in Nazi Germany, too, is that they used so-called public magazines and newspapers to start this social control. If you were a German woman and you had sex with a Jewish man, why, then the local newspaper that was run by the Nazi Party would come out and they would call you a Schandmädchen, which means a sinning woman, a woman of shame, and they would print your name in the paper. Well, how many of us have gone through the grocery store, and as you're going through the checkout stand, look up there at the gossip rags. You see the same things happening here, is that people are being surrounded.
Now they have magazines everywhere and weeklies called Busted and stuff, where they put all the citizens arrested, not convicted, in there so they can be publicly pilloried. Exactly. They're getting us used to this gladiatorial event where it's entertaining to see our fellow citizens pilloried.
Yes, exactly. All going along the same program that brought the Nazi success. If we look at a couple statistics of the Gestapo, it's very revealing. If we look at Dusseldorf, which was a city in Germany, the statistics for the Gestapo from 1933 to 1944, only 15% of the legal or their police proceedings that they would start were started on the basis of police actually seeing something happen. All the rest was based upon reports from snitches and other agencies, public agencies that would snitch for them.
That's why even when they report, I saw a new article about this today, neighbor sees a gun, they just go ahead and send the police to somebody's house, and the guy's in there cleaning the gun in his garage, and they'll shoot him, or they'll tell him come out and then call a SWAT team, and then they're like, but my gun's not illegal. It's like, it doesn't matter. We're you know, somebody called, the doctor called, you weren't vaccinating your children. Well, there's no law against that. Well, the state police are still here. We're going to have to take your child into custody. They may be in danger, but there's no law. They have to have a shot. We're taking your child. Well, where's the warrant? We're taking your child. Again, they're just getting us used to not following a law, and tattletaling is taken like a golden sacrament from heaven because they want to encourage this. The only power you have as a citizen is to snitch, and that is a godlike power now that must be worshipped.
Yeah, so well said. I was watching television. I don't watch a lot of television, but I saw this lady that was, there was a news story on her. She was being heralded as a heroine in the television news. And what had she done? Well, there had been a group of men in a car that had driven up to a gas station. They were dressed like any Americans, but they looked, their complexion looked Arab. And she called the police because these Arab-looking complected men had driven up to the gas station. And she was being heralded as a heroine. I mean, talk about something that's so blatantly against what this country was founded upon. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, they were totally opposite of where they're taking people, where you're a hero for calling in someone because they look like they're Arabs. Wow. Another interesting thing that I noticed from history, because I was studying Warsaw was a city in Poland where the Nazis established what was called a ghetto. They moved Jews from all over Poland and other places into Warsaw, and then later they moved those Jews to concentration camps. And I would ask people, the listeners out there, how many Gestapo do you think it took to move something like, and I don't remember the exact statistics, but ballpark figures, maybe a 500,000 Jewish people out of the Warsaw ghetto in a whole series of moves. How many? Well, it was only a dozen. Something like a dozen Gestapo police were all that were needed. And the reason why is because all they did was oversee what the local Jewish police did, the local Jewish police that the Jewish people would.
That's right. That's what George Soros was in Romania. And he did an interview 14 years ago, 15 years ago for 60 Minutes. And by the way, they've removed it everywhere. You can find the transcripts and short clips. And he said it's one of the best times of his life is a quote. And then that's hailed. And then when Glenn Beck dared criticize him as being a collaborator with the Nazis, the ADL said that was anti-Semitic. So see, if you actually helped Nazis round people up, you are loving and of goodness. But if you're not a Nazi, then the Jewish groups say you are. I mean, again, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible just how evil this system is. And but it was also the compliance. I've watched the footage of communists, Seventh-day Adventists, so many groups, Jews. I mean, they just killed Russians and all of them. Well, the Russians started fighting back because they figured out, hey, this guy, first they thought it was a liberator. They hated Stalin so much. Then they found out, wow, this is even worse. But you've all seen the footage of the men would put their hat in their hand and say thank you to the soldiers and run in and be shot. The women would walk in with their babies and be shot. And then I'm a weirdo because that's not happening with me. See, that's not happening. And you see people not resisting. There actually was some resistance in the Warsaw ghetto. But there wasn't much resistance against Pol Pot in Cambodia. The good news is, Fritz, 5 million guns a month being sold, an all-time record, and people say it's because they don't trust the government. So I don't think it's going to go that way in America, Fritz.
Yeah, there have been some positive things happen. Like back in May 2000 in Canada, the people discovered that there was this huge data bank that Canada's Human Resources was keeping on people, their Human Resources Department. They had given it this long name, Longitudinal Labor Force Files. That's so typical of our government to come up with these large names. Anyway, the Canadian people within that month got that stopped and shut down. So there have been instances of where the people said, no, we're not going to take this. And you can look through history and see those events happening. And of course, we're not taught the class risk-taking 101 when we go to school. So how do we take risk? You know, how do we step out and not just be reactive, but how do we be proactive like you are being on your show, you know? Well, first, we have to get beyond our fears, because fears become self-fulfilling prophecies. You know, defensive thinking is rooted in the past. We have to move forward, be proactive, and we need to have faith. We need to have hope. These are the kind of things that I really want to encourage people to have, is faith and hope, you know, so that they'll move forward. And we're forced to take risk in life. You know that. All of us are forced to take risk. So what do? Do we run back to our fears and try to have security? You know, Helen Keller said that security is mostly just a superstition. You know, it doesn't exist in nature, she said. She said life is a daring adventure. And I dare to say, you know, that's what you and I have been embarked on, is a daring adventure. You know, and we have our rough moments. I know that you've had your rough moments. I've had my rough moments. But I would rather do that than to crawl on my knees and lick the hand and kiss the feet of the people that want to rule us with this tyranny.
Fritz, just continuing here, do you think we can turn the tide against this? What's your gut? Because I do see people waking up, but I don't see them really then taking action, though. And by that I mean we need to boldly call this system out and totally discredit it, because just like they want to shout us down, it is a battle of wills. They're so immoral and so openly criminal that if we just expose them and say no and resist with noncompliance, they're not going to get away with it. They need our compliance.
Exactly. They do need the general public's compliance if they're going to operate effectively. And that's why they continue to have the charade that we elect our presidents. We don't select, nor do we elect our presidents. The process has been totally hijacked. But as long as we continue to be fooled into thinking that we select these criminals to run this country, people will continue, like the church, oh, well, we have to obey the legal authorities. Well, excuse me, but these authorities are no longer legal. They're illegal, you know. To put me into prison, they probably broke 20 or 30 laws easily, you know, laws that carried far more time in prison than what they put me in prison for. But nobody's going to call people to task for what was being done, you know, jury tampering, blah, blah, blah. You know, but the thing of it is people need to stand up and be good people. Good people will stand up and you know, maybe you're asking me, are we going to be successful? I don't know if we are or aren't, but I do know that we have a choice to make as to what kind of person we're going to be. Are we going to be the punk? That's a prison term. Are we going to be punked by these power hungry people, or are we going to have the dignity of being decent human people that say, hey, this is not right, and it isn't right, and like you say, calling them out. Understand the dynamic of power here, and I know you know, Alex, is that power generally demolishes the user's character, and so it corrupts. Total power totally corrupts, and we see these people, some of them may have had some decency to them before they got power, but afterwards, even these petty bureaucrats, you know,
My next point. Knowing the Illuminati and what they're into at the deepest levels running this, I know they're in control of society. They're trying to get greater control. They're not in total control, but they're not in control of themselves. And from what I've read, what I've researched, what I've seen, what a lot of experts have said, is that the Illuminati of 50 years ago, 100 years ago, was more focused, more dedicated, more professional, and that there's been blowback, and more careful, I would add, blowback of the drugging and the electromagnetic and this culture of death, and that the highest levels of the elite are becoming more and more decadent, and they don't have a lot of really hardworking people at the top anymore, like David Rockefeller. And that's why we're seeing such crazy GMO getting out and even hurting the elite. Reactors, 9 out of 10 leaking. The elite don't care. You know, they wouldn't let the troops use DU until 1990. Now they let them use it. It's killing them. I mean, they've really gotten a craziness to them now where they're just acting like they want to destroy everything. Is there a method to that madness?
Yes, there is, and you're correct. There's a lot of madness behind it. That's one reason why in their plans, they plan to use technocrats, people that are highly skilled, you know, your scientist who doesn't care who's funding him as long as he has a job to do his research. And these technocrats are going to run the New World Order for him because they're not looking at the bigger picture and thinking, what am I subscribing to? And that goes back to Nazi Germany again. Most of the Gestapo police were not hardcore Nazi party members. Now, eventually, they got integrated into the Nazi party, but even then, the majority of them didn't have their heart in what the Nazi party
stood
for.
Well, I've read in most of the major mainline German reports, I mean, this isn't propaganda, it's what they themselves wrote, Heinrich Himmler and others, when they would go out and tour a death camp, would vomit and would throw up and not want to see it. Hitler never wanted to look at it either. They just scientifically said, we're going to do this, and then ordered people to do it. And that most of the top Nazis would gag and throw up. But it was all part of acting tough, and they were willing to do it, and they were punching the buttons. I want all you phony environmentalists to know something. Your carbon taxes will kill billions of people on record. If you look at history, truth is stranger than fiction. I mean, most governments end up going bad, and they start killing a bunch of people. Governments kill 262 mil in non-military related actions in the 20th century, and that's according to multiple universities. University of Hawaii, others have done big research projects on it. I tried to get the top professor on the subject, and he said that he would do a written request interview, but he is hearing impaired. He's completely deaf, and so he couldn't obviously come on the radio show and talk to us about it. And I do intend to do that for an Infowars.com article, one of the leading demo side experts in the world, because no one really knows about this. You know about serial killers. You know about things that you've got a 1 out of 35 million chance, literally. I've looked at it. Now, you've got a 1 out of 3.5 plus million chance every year of dying from a terrorist. It's in the 35 millions to be killed by a serial killer. I mean, you got a better chance of being struck by lightning twice. We've gone through the actuaries. Look it up for yourself. Champagne corks are more dangerous. You know, they kill hundreds a year. Hundreds. I've shot one off before, and it shot up into a thing and knocked a light out. I mean, yeah, it'll hit you in the temple and kill you. It's explosive. You know how dangerous it is when I'm driving to work every day and on a two-lane road and there's cars going 70 miles an hour inches away? And I'm not worried about it because they didn't tell me to be afraid of it. They tell you to be afraid of terrorists. Give your rights up and they'll take good care of you. It's all a bunch of baloney. Government is the real threat. Government's the real danger. A couple plugs here. If you want to get the amazing book, it's a coffee table book, huge documents, photos. I read this thing, I don't know, 15 years ago and couldn't believe it. And then over the years, so much of what I read in the book, I ended up seeing in the mainstream news later. First place, first person ever said that the House of Windsor isn't even German, but Transylvanian, basically. That's mainstream news now. Turns out Prince Charles is hopping around in the woods of Transylvania part of the time and is into Dracula and all this stuff. That's all in his book. Bloodlines, the Illuminati, Fritz Springmeier, Infowars.com, or 888-253-3139 to call. We also have some combo deals where you can get my films that relate to it along with it. And I'm really excited that we've been promoting ProPure that is heads above any of the competition. Go to Infowars.com, the online video bookstore shopping cart, and you can do a side-by-side against the leading competitor that's, you know, the next best company. And not that it's a bad product, but the ProPure blows it all away. Available at Infowars.com. We've got a discount only for our listeners. We already have it at the lowest price on the gravity-fed filters. We have 10% off on all the water filter products from ProPure when you put in the code WATER. Can't forget that. Infowars.com, water. Fritz, we got one more little short segment with you. I look forward to having you back on soon on whatever subject you want to raise next time. But other points you want to get at here.
Okay. Building upon the social control, one of the effects of the social control has been to hide a lot of the solutions that would give people hope. The torus is a donut shape. And it's the shape of energy fields like the magnetic field, tornadoes, the galaxy. I would go so far as to say the shape of the universe is a torus. The torus has been used by inventors to create free energy machines, but all of this has been suppressed. Another thing that's been suppressed by their social control, even to the extent of murdering people that come up with these alternative medical solutions, there's a lot of research. There's research into how to reverse the aging process by supporting the telomeres. That's the end of the DNA.
Hold on, I want to hear that back in 60 seconds.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Big Brother. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're into hour number three. Dr. Doug Rocky's going to pop in for two segments. We're trying to save lives here. They're now saying if you're dying of Fukushima radiation, you're mentally ill. That's from 2 days ago. Will you reprint me Paul Watson's article that links to the Japanese news on that for when he joins us? That's another example, and then Max Kaiser's coming on, of how the system ridicules you. The Soviets did it. The Nazis did it. They use medical systems as a tyranny. So it's admitted there's radiation poisoning, but because you are trying to get medical help, they're just going to say you're mentally ill. And that's on record. They said we were mentally ill, that there was high levels of radiation, and they got caught lying. So it's another example of that. I want to have you back up in a few weeks to just do an hour on solutions and get into all the suppressed technologies and things. But as you mentioned decades ago, they now admit they can reverse the aging process in insects and rodents and humans. The elites, how far advanced are they technologically from your sources inside the Illuminati that we know? Because it's obvious they've got a breakaway civilization. But what can we prove, Fritz?
Well, I know of cases, and I don't know the reason why it's very selective, but there are selective individuals that are actually living hundreds of years. They're living transgenerational, but this is a very guarded secret, and I don't think I've ever said what I just said publicly, because they're pretty sensitive about that particular issue. So they do have. Actually, from what I know, there are things out there to give us healthy lives. We should all be living to at least 100 years old productively. But of course, as you so aptly demonstrate, they keep poisoning us, and they keep taking away our nutrition from our food and from our soil. They're working overtime to try to steal our health. And it seems like our culture is cooperating with that. Again, we have that Gleichschaltung that helped the Nazis carry out their programs and agendas. Yeah, I'd love to be back. Thanks for having me, Alex.
You bet. Get more into the fact that they said that 96% of DNA was junk. Of course, they knew that wasn't the case. It's an antenna. Even mainline science is now saying that.
Right. Years ago, they ridiculed the telomeres on the end of the DNA. And I was really upset because I have faith in God, and I know that he didn't design this body and create something that was worthless in there. And I didn't know what the answer were for the telomeres, but finally three scientists got a Nobel Prize for regressing. They age-regressed mice from 80 human years back to 50 human years, showing that the telomeres could be supported, and they discovered what the telomeres were all about. There's other things, stem cell research. I could go on and on about different medical advances, but the general public is not being told about. And I just encourage the listeners, our listeners out there, your listeners are like diamonds in the rough. And I just encourage them to, on their own, start investigating all of the suppressed technology and all these suppressed medical methods that could bring them, help them become self-sufficient in taking care of themselves.
That's right. Get out of the system, and that means mentally. Start investigating. Don't even believe what we're saying. Just start investigating on your own. Start being wily. Be skeptical. Thank you so much, Fritz Springmeier. Bloodlines of the Illuminati, available at InfoWars.com. We'll talk to you soon. Dr. Doug Rocky, straight ahead. And Max Kaiser.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, Max Kaiser's coming up here in about 25 minutes on the incredible MF Global developments that have been unfolding. Corzine caught perjuring multiple witnesses, head of the CME group, stealing billions of dollars, lying about it, and not getting in trouble. We're going to be talking to Max Kaiser, who's got inside information on that and more coming up. Now, he's only with us for two segments. We appreciate his time, so we'll cut right to the chase. Dr. Doug Rocky is one of the leading depleted uranium experts in the world, literally wrote the book for the Pentagon on DU. He earned his BS in physics at Western Illinois University, followed by his MS and PhD in physics and technology education, University of Illinois. His military career has spanned four decades to include combat during Vietnam War and Gulf War I. Doug served as a member of the 3rd U.S. Army Medical Command Nuclear Biological Chemical NBC teaching. He's the granddaddy of most of the modern training today, police kid. Medical response, a special operations team, 3rd U.S. Army Captured Equipment Project Team, and with the 3rd U.S. Army Depleted Uranium Assessment Team during Gulf War Operation Desert Storm. He was the U.S. Army's Depleted Uranium Project Director for the entire U.S. Army, 94-95. He developed the congressionally mandated education and training materials and wrote U.S. Army Regulation 700-48, U.S. Army PAM 700-48, and U.S. Army Common Task for DU Incidents. He has taught nuclear, chemical, biological warfare, hazardous materials, and emergency medicine for over 20 years in both civilian and military personnel. I'm going to have to stop right there. It just goes on and on. The point is, they knew it was deadly and don't use it even up till 1990 and didn't use it. Suddenly, they started using it. Now, whenever people are joining the military, I get hateful letters and calls occasionally. People saying, how dare you? There's no radiation. The Army told them, or the Marines told them. They wouldn't do that to my boy. I also get letters every week and calls. You've heard them. Yeah, I'm 27, just got lung cancer, kidney failure. It's DU. VA says, take Prozac. I'm mentally ill. Alex, you know, 5 years ago, I could carry a pack 40 miles. Now I can hardly walk. I'm going on dialysis. Dr. Rocky gets these calls every day, and he's the expert. So they've gone from this is deadly, don't use it, until now, just don't even have any procedures. It's wonderful for you. Use it at local shooting ranges. You know, use it in concrete. Use it in machinery parts. It's everywhere. Now, we've got just 10 minutes here and then 5 minutes of the next segment. I want to give him the floor. Briefly, what is DU, Doctor, and why are they proliferating its use? But then I want to shift gears, the real reason you're here. We're trying to save lives exposing this. The Japanese news is reporting, and we had a PrisonPlanet.com article on it 2 days ago, fear of radiation treated as psychiatric disorder in Fukushima. Despite proven track record of official deception, the kids are dropping dead. People are bleeding. They're dying. They admit it's many times worse than Chernobyl, but they're not giving them treatment and saying, go on Prozac. So I guess they're taking what they do to our military heroes and now doing it in Japan. This is beyond madness. Dr. Rocky, what do you think of all this?
It's total madness. A week ago, last Wednesday, I went to the Department of Veteran Affairs at Danville for my own medical care with the PTSD. Doctors said, knowing full well, exposed to depleted uranium, neurotoxic effects, confirmed hot and all this stuff, and exactly what he wanted to issue was Prozac. And I said, you can't, have you ever looked at my records? You can't issue Prozac when you guys are treating me for massive spinal injuries and fibromyalgia with pain meds. It's crazy. The Department of Veteran Affairs came out with a brand new report on Gulf War illness. This is so new that I don't think the ink is dry. And in the segment here on depleted uranium, and I have to read this here quote for quote because it's incredible. Quote, the purpose of depleted uranium surveillance program is to determine DU-related health effects in exposed soldiers and study the medical and surgical management fragments. 3,192 urine samples have been screened for DU, with 4 veterans found to be positive screened. The 79 veterans with documented DU exposure have been followed every 2 years since 1993. Veterans travel to Baltimore VA Medical Center have a complete medical examination with extensive laboratory studies to include urine, semen, blood, uranium, chromosomal analysis, and neurocognitive testing. I can't even begin to describe. I mean, this is a brand new report that still follows the Los Alamos Memorandum that I was given in March of 1991 when I was ordered to clean up the mess by General Schwarzkopf, but at the same time ordered to lie in all of our reports. Here they're saying 79 veterans have been followed every 2 years since 1993. I had 424 individuals on my team I was responsible for, including 124 friendly fire. As of 2000, in the GAO reports, they'd only even followed up on 51. To this day, I have been unable to get medical care for my primary team members and friendly fire guys that we know were exposed, whose medical care I ordered in March and April of 1991. And then they come down and say there's only 4 people. I got over a dozen positive reports on my desk right now, to include mine, include Denise Nichols, our nurse, and everybody else. And I got one back the other day from another guy, current time. They had just did the test here locally again. And Melissa McDermott came back and said, yeah, you're hot for DU, but it came out of your diet from your food and water in the area. When I talked to the assistant to the director at Danville VA Medical Center, they totally acknowledged, yeah, Doug, we all know there's no depleted uranium in any food or water around here. There's none at Chinook Air Force Base. But this is what they do to get out from it. It all comes down to it. Depleted uranium is the way the Department of Energy gets rid of the majority of its byproducts, waste byproducts. For every 100 pounds that goes into the enrichment process for the Department of Energy, over 99 pounds of pure waste. And all of that has to go someplace. So they came up with the idea, let's make uranium munitions, which are not coated. They're solid radioactive materials consisting of radioactive isotopes 238, 235, 234, uranium 236, plutonium, neptunium, and americium. And as a consequence, when we look at the health effects, it's staggering. Because they say there are no health effects, but then, and you've got the documents, you put them up on your website. When you go to the internal VA reports, they totally confirm them. When you go to our medical records, they totally confirm them. When you go to the Department of Defense's Pentagon briefing on depleted uranium by Colonel J. Edgar Wakayama, they totally confirm it all.
But that's my question to you, because I've heard you on my show, and I've seen documentaries where you broke down in the past. There were documents, as you know, in the late 40s, early 50s, where they looked at using DU and said, don't, because it has too much blowback on the troops. It's a soft kill. And then what changed then in the early 90s to go ahead and say, let's just use it?
There was a lie about the combat capability of the Iraqi military and how effective their armor was. And so this is where it all ties together, because
Oh, they said they had Russian reactive, right?
They had Russian reactive armor that was immune to anything that we had, so they had to use DU. Okay, now, see, this is the screwy part. Not only did General Schwarzkopf assign me by name, which he was ordered to do by the Pentagon, God had to have a hand in this somehow, and the Pentagon's mattered blue blazes at me, that to clean up the DU mess. But when we went to clean that up, the next project they assigned me to was to capture equipment. So I did the assessment on the Iraqi Soviet armor and all of this stuff, and what I found out is we could have taken it out with a standard M60 machine gun, you know, or basically anything we had, you know, standard rifle, because it was just basically nothing there. So they had that, and then we keep coming on down. So then we, you know, used it in Somalia. We used it in the Balkans in 94 and 95. We used it in the Balkans in 99. Then lo and behold, we set up all these current wars, Iraq and Afghanistan. We know in Afghanistan, the Taliban, who we were ordered to overthrow because they wouldn't go along with the Unocal pipeline deal, that's why we went in there, did not have armor of any type. And yet we used depleted uranium munitions, and I've got the shipping documents where we shipped incredible amounts to Afghanistan. And obviously the health effects on the Afghanis and all of the other...
Yeah, I forget the tonnage in all these wars. It's some astronomical...
It was 370 tons during Desert Storm. We know around 30 to 40 tons in 94, 95 in the Balkans. I don't know how much in Somalia in 93 because...
And by the way, the proof's in the pudding, as you know, Doctor. I've got London Guardian headlines, Lancet, 14 times increase in cancers and birth defects in Iraqi cities in the last few years that were bombed with these munitions. And you see the same numbers in our troops. It is a nightmare level. Now, shifting out of that... They tell you take Prozac, you're mentally ill if you've got DU poisoning, as you've talked about. Now they're telling the Fukushima people, no medical treatment, here's Prozac.
Now the same thing, let's understand, with Fukushima and all of the contamination over there, that's a nuclear reactor went sour and everything else. But the standard guidelines for cleaning up that radiological mess outside, inside the reactor core, this is the Army regulation that I wrote, 700-48. The guidelines for maximum exposure to anybody should be exposed after that event for anything is in a technical bulletin 9-1300-278 that Rich Lazar originally wrote back in, you know, before Desert Storm, and then we redid after our DU test in Nevada. So it's all there. What we have now is an incredible amount of radioactive materials spread all over from combat, destroying all of these other equipment that have full radioactive elements and parts in them. Then we have all these reactors that have gone nuts, and now all of that waste has gone up in the atmosphere around. Even here at the University of Illinois in the local paper, the university was bragging how the scientists measured the radioactive particulates from Japan coming down on Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, the University of Illinois, and saying, we can measure it, we can measure it. And I'm going, then you got a problem. And now you've got all of this waste coming across the ocean. I think Hawaii is the first country, you know, first...
Oh, there's just all those houses and everything with plutonium on it that'll never, you know, lose its radioactivity. It's hitting the California coast, and they're like, hey, don't worry about it.
Yeah, and then, you know, we brought all the contamination from Camp Doha back to Idaho, you know, kiss off the potato Idaho crop because we got all the DU contamination that we were ordered to clean up, and that I helped write the plan for it. That the Kuwaitis said, take it out of our country, take it out of our country. So they put it in Boise, Idaho. Congratulations, Idaho.
Stay there. I want to find out about this rebranding of radiation is good for you. Dr. Doug Rocky's our guest. We just got him for five more minutes. Doc, the main reason I got you on is because... This is hiding in plain view, as you know. It's an ongoing holocaust of our military and others. It's proliferating into every facet of life. The FDA and EPA are raising the levels of what they say is safe radiation, in some cases 100,000 times with one isotope. It's a new attitude. I mean, we all saw pundits come out and say, radiation's good for you and culture. People ought to be thankful at Fukushima. And now... They're throwing them in mental wards when they come in with blood coming out of their, you know, gums and stuff. Why is the elite? What has changed in the global power structure to where in 86 they admitted Chernobyl was bad? This is bigger than that. They say it's no big deal. They wouldn't let you use DU until 1990. Now they're proliferating it everywhere. I mean, what is the mindset of these people? Why is this happening?
Well, power, control, and money and everything else, and just absolute complete arrogance. I mean, it's like the same thing what happened in the 60s, the Better Living Through Chemistry, the American Chemical Society. And now we got incredible things, and I mean, there's the discussions on all the radio, TV, and everything this last week, is how all these children are come up with all these incredible brain and neurological diseases and everything else. Autistic. It's all the chemical exposures. We've gone to war. We've destroyed infrastructure. We lose all these chemical, biological, radiological materials in our everyday life. We use them in warfare. We blow it up. We contaminate everything. Well, the only way they can avoid liability is say, hey, it's all good for you, and you got to believe us because we're your daddy, and we know what's best for you. And in the meantime, people are sick and dying. You guys, you've been incredible, Alex. I've got another one, too. There's a new documentary out, and again, this is from one of your guys, you know, on the other side. Gary Knoll has put out a new, brand-new documentary called American Veterans Discarded and Forgotten. Incredible. This is brand new, updated, and everything going on.
I need to get him on about that.
Oh, it's really, really good. I just reviewed it and helped put out the letter for sent it out this week. But we're seeing the same thing over and over again. We did a documentary that just came out a few months ago from France, from the French. They looked at Fallujah. They compared the health effects of the Iraqis and compared the health effects with all of our soldiers' kids at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. They're all got the same thing. They're all dying from the same thing.
I can't tell you how many soldiers I know, special forces, you name it, who are 30 years old, 35, and whose lives are just shot. I mean, you don't like to talk about yourself, but I mean, you've how many surgeries is it? Over 30, right?
I gave up counting. I mean, I gave up counting on the kidney surgeries while I was director of the DU project, and they're going, Doug, how do you do this research? How do you put it all together? You ought to be dead and so sick. You're in and out of the hospital. You're either in the field blowing stuff up and clean it up or trying to figure out how to clean it up, or you're getting the hospital and surgery. It's nuts, but, you know, what's bad is I was ordered to get this taken care of. I briefed General Shinseki, you know, in written briefings. He issued the order mandating thorough medical care and training and viral remediation while he was commanding as a general. He signed the Army regulations as the commanding general for the chief of staff of the Army. Now he's secretary of the VA, and he acts as if there's no problem. I don't know about this. Well, how can you not be the secretary and not know there's a problem and not ensure medical care when, as the Army general, you were the guy that ordered it? The same thing with General Peek. Before him, the previous secretary, he had also ordered all the medical care based on my input. And he also became secretary of the VA. And yet, there's nobody sick. There's no problems. We got 750,000 of OIF, OEF, OND veterans already in VA medical care. 15% of the active duty force in the Army is non-deployable because they're medically disaster. And you've got a 1 million backlog of military veterans seeking medical care from the VA at the time. And yet, all you hear is broke. We can't do it. We don't know how to do it. They know what to do. They have no intention of doing it, because how do you tell the American public, we went to war for no reason, and we've got millions of U.S. military casualties, and because of what we did, we have millions of non-combatant casualties, children that suffer because of our illegal actions.
Well, it's like a gun that shoots both ways. You shoot the guy on the other side, and it shoots the other way and shoots you in the head, but it's a delayed soft kill, and by then the bankers and people have scurried off with the money, but it's blowing back on them. I mean, the elites aren't getting out of this. These really are arrogant, crazy people like Corzine making 40-to-1 bets. We find out world leaders aren't taking the vaccines. World leaders are not eating GMO. We find out the generals wanted to stay in different facilities and not areas that have been hit by DU. They know. And they are just absolute scum.
When I called the military last week, because everything's heating up in Syria, Iran, and, you know, Pakistan and Afghanistan. And
what'd you tell them, sir?
I told them they can't do this again. They got to stoop. They got to comply with everything. And it was kind of like, oh, Doug, go away. You know, it's like, don't tell us what we already know. Don't tell us what we always agreed on, because when we did the work, we put everything together. We were there, you know, heaven sent, but when we had to act and do something to correct it, nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
are back live. We are lining up Max Kaiser right now from France. While we're getting him on the horn, I just want to go back to this Atlantic Monthly magazine article. The hero, Ben Bernanke, saved the global economy, so why does everyone hate him? So now they don't deny the fact that everybody hates him, and everybody hates the private Federal Reserve and knows it's the occupational force. But now we've got to be told that he's our savior, when that's a total lie. The villain. The left hates him, the right hates him even more. But Ben Bernanke saved the economy and has navigated masterfully through the most trying times. The globalist maneuvered us and brag. The Economist brags, ooh, Goldman Sachs has conquered Europe without a shot being fired. What Napoleon and Hitler couldn't do. Oh, Financial Times of London. I mean, their memos are public. It's all a big joke. MF Global head, John Corzine, former head of Goldman Sachs, ripping people off. They're the ones devaluing the currency. They're the ones that created the derivatives. They're the ones that called all the shots and got rid of Glass-Steagall. All of them. These guys are bigger crooks than Bernie Madoff and Ken Lay. Carbon taxes, all of it. This guy's recommending tax increases and austerity to put the economy into a cardiac arrest so they can buy it all up. And Max Kaiser told us a year before the Iceland implosion that he was at the bar there in Reykjavik and the bankers were bragging to him because he's a former, you know, big shot stockbroker, TV host. They know who he is. You know, traded and worked with George Soros' son. A few months ago, he's in Greece. I don't know, 6 months ago now. Walks into the hotel. I went and looked it up later. Steve Jobs is actually blogging for, Forbes. Steve Forbes was actually blogging for Forbes, bragging about how great it was to buy up everything. Well, Max Kaiser walks into him and he's like, Max, it's wonderful. We're imploding their economy and buying everything up. And then selling the public that the global corporations and the global banks are loaning money to Greece and that Greece was bad. Greece had Goldman Sachs operatives, their president and others, sign them on to debt that wasn't theirs. The derivatives, the too big to fail. Now they're sending the very minions of the same banking structure in to be the presidents and prime ministers in Italy and in Greece. And they tried it in Iceland. The Icelanders said no. And then it turned out, surprise, surprise, 90%+ of the debt they were being told was theirs, they had to pay for, wasn't even their debt. The British news was calling the Icelanders terrorists and saying Icelanders won't be allowed to fly to England if their government doesn't pay us the money they owe our banks. Turned out those banks criminally had hijacked Iceland. This is all on record, but the corporate whore media instead tells us that there are heroes. They went in and threatened martial law. This is on record. If Congress didn't give them a blank check in the banker bailout that was really a banker coup d'etat, which is French for coup d'etat. It's an attempt at a joke there from one of my favorite children's movies, Hop. I like Carlos, man. He's a good villain. Anyways, the point is that this is so insane. And now they want a global minimum tax. We're going to play that coming up here in just a little while. Joe Biden's called for this global tax. But I have an article here from the supposed left, from Mother Jones attacking yours truly, the rights Obama martial law fail. And it goes on to say he isn't doing anything scary. There's no NDAA. There's no torture. There's no taking executive orders for nuclear war and saying for any civil or economic emergency they can arrest everybody. I mean, that's what it says. But, you know, they had it on the books before. Yeah, he's just expanding it. There's no TSA sticking their hands down your pants. Alex Jones is a bad man. And Bernanke's a hero. Okay, Max Kaiser, you've exposed him as the world's greatest terrorist. What do you think of The Atlantic telling us that Ben Bernanke is a hero and Goldman Sachs and Rahm Emanuel, that's also in there, are heroes? The whole thing is, this guy gave birth to the planet. Did you know the sun comes out in the morning, Max Kaiser, because of them?
Hey, Alex. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, well, I get into the machinations. You know, I like to look at the actual banking crimes as they are being committed. Because when I was working on Wall Street, I was engaged in many of these tactics myself. So it's always fun to see how they're doing it these days. And my sources are very good. You know, last time I was on your show, I described a conversation between Jamie Dimon and John Corzine where Dimon threatened to kill Corzine. And everything that's come out since then, now the blanks have been filled in. So I've got pretty much the whole picture.
And you were proven correct. It was wired to London. He did know. He did order it. We have the head of the CME group saying he perjured himself. Now the memos are public. Of course, the CEO who ordered the bet stole the money. And that's like you catch a fox with a chicken in its mouth, and it tells you with blood dripping out, I didn't eat the chicken. I mean, it is off the chart ridiculous. What does all this signify? Yeah, give us the rest of the story of why he looted the private accounts, where it's all going, and will he get in trouble, or will he be given some prize by the FBI for being a good citizen?
Yeah, well, I think the way the story is being portrayed right now, they don't really have it correct. I mean, the story really is J.P. Morgan or Jamie Dimon attacking MF Global. And this comes out of the whole recent era of the too-big-to-fail banks getting even bigger. You know, as a result of the 2008 crash, you have Bank of America bought Countrywide and Merrill Lynch. Wells Fargo bought Wachovia. J.P. Morgan bought Bear Stearns. And
let me stop you, Max, because I want to be able to hear you. Are you building a barn or something? Because it sounds like you're sawing and stuff.
Oh, really? Is that any better now?
It just sounds like you're banging on things. Yes, sir. You've got the floor. Just don't.
I might be banging. Okay. How does this sound better?
There's
okay,
that.
So they got these two big to fail banks are getting even bigger. And as a result, they've become very predatory. So J.P. Morgan sees over at MF Global on their books, they have this huge leveraged Eurobond position. Now, you have to also remember that J.P. Morgan, the MF Global is a client of J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan is their clearing bank, their custodian bank, their creditor. You could almost say that MF Global is a subsidiary of J.P. Morgan. So they know, J.P. Morgan knows everything going on at MF Global. They know their balance sheet. They know their position. So when the timing was right, J.P. Morgan tells MF Global that we need $175 million margin call. We need $175 million. And, of course, they know that they don't have that money. Corzine says, look, we don't have the money. And it was at that time that the famous conversation went down where Jamie Dimon essentially threatens to have him killed. You know, like John Perkins talks about the economic hitman.
He'd go into the Pentagon, meet with generals. If he couldn't get people to take the money and the sex, they sent in hitmen.
Right. So Corzine says we don't have it. There's a threat to kill him. And then soon thereafter, what we now know from testimony is that Corzine goes into the customer accounts. He transfers $200 million of that customer money into a separate entity. He then calls up J.P. Morgan and says, look, I got the $175 million. I'm going to send that over to you guys. Notice it's not $200 million because that would be too obvious. He uses a slightly different number, this $175 million versus $200 million. And, of course, J.P. Morgan is kind of shocked because they're trying to throw MF Global under the bus because they want access to this huge leveraged Eurobond position. So Jamie Dimon and JP Morgan at that point, they request from MF Global that they send over written confirmation that this money is not coming from customers because they know it is coming from customers. But they want written confirmation that it's not coming from customers because they realize what's going on. Now that a written confirmation never materializes, but that money nevertheless goes over to J.P. Morgan. So now J.P. Morgan has committed crimes three different ways. They've purposely thrown the company under the bus. They've instigated customer theft of funds, and they willingly and knowingly took stolen money. Shortly thereafter, of course, the firm goes bankrupt. And this is where we see the payoff, because that huge leveraged euro bond position gets sold off into the market to George Soros. George Soros fences that position, that multi-$100 million euro position, makes a ton of money, of course, because he's working with J.P. Morgan, and he's a client of J.P. Morgan as well. And they fenced this out to Soros before this all goes down. And we see the progression of yet another bank heist and another incidence of too big to fail getting bigger. And it's all orchestrated from the side of J.P. Morgan. And John Corzine is a bit of a patsy in all this.
All right, well, let me expand on that, because I was looking at the connections with Obama and Goldman Sachs and the head of the EPA formerly being Goldman Sachs, and then all these third world countries, the presidents are Goldman Sachs, and then the finance minister is Goldman Sachs. I mean, literally over 8 out of 10 presidents or finance ministers in the world. I just randomly have started looking up the names of African country leaders, Latin American, New Zealand, European. It's Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sachs. I know J.P. Morgan Chase is bigger. I know they're the big Federal Reserve shareholders, all that, you know, heart of the New World Order. I know they're bigger. But then is like Goldman Sachs the technician team that, I mean, what's that relationship there? Because I just see Goldman Sachs operatives everywhere. The money is being funneled back to J.P. Morgan. Is that like Don Corleone up on the hill or something? And then what, A, and then B, what's going to happen to Corzine or whoever? I mean, now do people perjure themselves and a bunch of money goes missing and no one gets in trouble? Because that signal is going to destroy confidence.
Well, no, the J.P. Morgan is at the top of the pyramid, really, because they're the ones working directly with the Fed. J.P. Morgan has on their books over $90 trillion in derivatives. They have something like 25% of the global derivatives business is right on J.P. Morgan's books. And they also have Blythe Masters, who invented the credit default swap. So when people are frustrated, for example, when the price of silver gets knocked down or the price of gold gets knocked down, that's Blythe Masters. He's in the market terrorizing these markets with these naked credit default swap contracts that he floods the market with these sell orders, these bogus flash orders to manipulate the prices. So that's all at J.P. Morgan as well. Goldman Sachs is their specialty, as you pointed out earlier. They're more out in the Eurozone. They've destroyed Greece. They're attacking Portugal. They're undermining Spain. They've totally corrupted Brussels. They're really trying. They're all over Europe. I mean, I live three blocks from their France headquarters, so I see those guys all the time going in and out of there with their briefcases and shiny loafers, plotting to destroy various countries for a quick buck. But mostly it's J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon, who's, of course, whispered to be the next Treasury Secretary after Timothy Geithner. I guess they would have to do some kind of a huge flash crash first to create a huge crisis to slip that smelly, putrid appointment under the noses of the people. But and which I expect that coming, by the way. We are on the cusp of another huge downdraft based on the growing instability of these markets due to the fact that all that happened in the last 36 months is that the central banks added $15 to $20 trillion of bad debt to their books. They can't service that debt. The economies aren't growing enough to service the debt. So there's going to be, we're definitely on course to what we've been saying on your show now for 2 years, of some kind of global devaluation. You mentioned earlier a global tax mentioned by Joe Biden. We've talked about this many times on your show. The reason there's an income tax in America is to pay the interest on the debt for the Federal Reserve Bank. When you create a global reserve bank, like they are in the process of doing, to roll up all these bad debts into special drawing rights or some new global currency, they will have to create a global tax to pay the interest on this new debt. That's the plan. Hello?
World, they're announcing that world government is going to take everybody's liberty for their own good. They're announcing how lucky we are to have this happening. What heroes Jamie Dimon and, of course, Bernanke are. And why does everybody hate him? I mean, that's the actual headline here in The Atlantic. Ben Bernanke saved the global economy. So why does everybody hate him? And of course, he's just a front man for these guys. But we know they want to raise taxes, cut benefits, and keep taking over. But now people are learning that they're the authors of our doom. Everybody's buying guns. I don't see them at the end of the day getting away with this. What's their exit strategy? What are they thinking? Or are they so crazy, it's like, why upgrade the nuclear reactors? Let them blow up. I mean, it's just like total psycho behavior.
Well, I just saw a report that was saying why the pink slime, which they've discovered is 20% of the hamburger meat in America, it really is a good thing. And that people shouldn't disparage the wonderful qualities of pink slime.
It's got ammonia in it. Cancer's good. Come on. Yeah. Come on.
So if you own all the media outlets, except yours, of course, if you own all the other media outlets, and you can create any reality you want. And if you see, the great thing about financial terrorism, and we saw this in 2008, you know, they tried to pass that bailout, $750 billion. Hank Paulson went before Congress. And the initial vote was no. Then, of course, he just instructed his boys on Wall Street to hit the sell switch. There was a mini crash, and it scared the Congress people into voting yes. Same thing in Europe, same thing in Greece. To get the people to sign on, they staged these horrific financial terrorist attacks to stock market crashes, and then the people are panicked into voting whatever they're going to vote. So this is great, but this is great about having algorithmic trading, computer trading. So over 70% of all the trading on the exchanges is computer generated, and all the computer generated trading is by algorithmic program trading that are created in the Wall Street banks. And you create an algorithm, a program that says, okay, when certain conditions are X, Y, and Z, we're going to dump a trillion in orders, sell orders into the market, naked sell orders, flash crash, and we're going to create a political reality that way.
So what is its final end game then? Where does it go? Just bankers slaughtering everyone, drinking gallons of blood, dancing around like Nero?
Well, the trend toward consolidation in the banking industry is picking up speed. I imagine at the end there'll be two or three major mega banks run by two or three of people who have net worths. You know, what the biggest guy in the world has a net worth of $50 billion or $60 trillion. I would imagine that at the end, you'll have people with net worths of, you know, like a country, $400 billion.
Stay for there. Let's go ahead and play the short clip. This is Biden yesterday. We want to create a global minimum tax because your tax money, as Max was pointing out, income taxes globally. What year we get the Federal Reserve? 1913. What year we get the income tax? 1913. What year we get the federal investigative groups that were set up to knock heads? You guessed it. Everything 1913. What year they get rid of the senators being appointed by the states? 1913. Oh, you didn't know that? The states used to run things? Yeah. Max Kaiser's our guest. Let's go ahead and go to this short clip of Joe Biden, a global minimum tax. Here it is.
We want to drop the rate, particularly for high-tech manufacturers like you, Mr. President, even further than the 20%. We want to create what's called a global minimum tax because American taxpayers shouldn't be providing a larger subsidy for investing abroad than investing at home.
What a way to push global government is to claim somehow it'll help Americans. It's total bull. That's what the OECD and others say. They want an 85% global average tax rate, but he calls that lower. That's called lying to crowds. Max Kaiser, that's what the globalist plan is, one mega bank over the world, privately owned, with a giant UN, global government, corporate, NATO peacekeeping army, stealing and robbing from everybody and tearing up our roads and giving us dirt roads. Basically, the Hunger Games, Agenda 21. Can they get away with it, is the question, Max Kaiser.
Well, if you're going to use fiscal policy or tax policy, there's $5 trillion of foreign exchange or Forex traded every single day. By applying a 0.001% tax on those transactions, which are all derivative transactions that benefit nobody except the top bankers, you would raise all the money you could ever want to raise. So Joe Biden, if he had any kind of financial literacy whatsoever and wasn't just stumping for a global central bank to continue this global nightmare and roll up a big tranche of phony debt, I mean, that he would talk about something like that. But that makes sense. What he's talking about is just more of the same.
Max, what about the left, the so-called left, criticizing myself and others for worrying about a police state? They're like, ha, 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 look, this guy thinks there's a police state. They don't call this a police state, what's already been set up?
You know, talking about the left for a second, there was a great piece by Matt Taibbi on his blog today talking about how the Tea Party and the Occupy Wall Street movements are joined at the hip, because the Tea Party is right in that there is no government regulation, and that the Occupy Wall Street movement is also right in that you've got this huge concentration of wealth at the very top. For example, Ray Dalio, he is a hedge fund manager in Greenwich in Westport, Connecticut. He paid himself $3.6 billion in compensation last year. That's B with a billion. $3.6 billion in compensation. He runs hundreds of billions of dollars for people. And when you have folks, individuals, like back in 1993, George Soros famously broke the Bank of England. It was the first time an individual who ran a hedge fund challenged a country. He broke the Bank of England, he crashed the British pound, and he made $1 billion in 1 week. Now, all the hedge funds since then have been trying to be like Soros, amass huge amounts of money under management. And as we saw with Greece, that was cooked up with John Paulson, another hedge fund manager, and Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs. And
finish that thought back in 60 seconds. By the way, tonight, The Secrets of Prometheus, InfoWars Nightly News, PrisonPlanet.tv.
From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
And the 74th annual edition of the Hunger Games from Region 6. I saw a comment on a blog where they had the radio show posted. They're like, what is this, the Hunger Games, Region 6? That's art imitating life. You understand? And this isn't art. This is life we're covering here. People say, well, the Hunger Games is anti-New World Order. How are you saying it's a conditioning tool? Because it's shown as fiction. It acclimates people. And what you see in films like that is exactly what the globalists had planned. I'm not saying the person's either good or bad. I don't know. Side issue, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Max Kaiser, MaxKaiser.com. I should have pointed that out. TV host, researcher. Max, finish your point about where you see all this going. And then I want to ask you, what made you wake up, even though you're very successful in everything, and leave the stock market and then expose it?
Well, to finish off my point, going back to Soros in 93, he was the first individual to crash a country. And so these super wealthy hedge fund managers and bankers have been doing that ever since, and they're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And as a result, you now have individuals who are bigger than countries, and we're seeing them crash countries to make a profit. And they're making lots of profits. And I just saw a very interesting tweet fly by in my tweet stream here that fuel is being rationed to British ambulances. So the price of fuel is so high now in Britain because of the money printing, because of the banking terrorism, because Mervyn King, the chairman of the Bank of England, is a stooge for the ruling class. The price of gas is so high, petrol, that ambulances can't afford it. Now, this is having a direct impact. This is called financial repression, when the central banks keeps the jackboot of their manipulation on interest rates so that they're near 0%. This means that money is opening a gash in the economy, and money is flooding in with that 0% rate and driving things like fuel costs higher. And while pensioners who rely on retirement income and higher interest rates can't survive. And this is all done in the name of liquidity and helping the economy, but it only helps the speculators. It only helps the top banking class, and it's causing this financial repression and huge dislocation, and it's all engineered by design, and it's pitiful. And both the right and the left are beginning to understand this. So when you asked about what do I think about this hit piece of you in a recent left-wing piece, it's unfortunate because there's now so much common ground between all disparate groups. If you're not a Goldman Sachs partner, you're in trouble. So there's no time or it's a waste of energy to focus.
Well, exactly. We're seeing open classical police state corruption. And I'm just saying, hey, let's get our freedom back. And I've got the right wing and the left wing. I forgot a bunch of other publications on the right attacked me over saying Obama is power grabbing now and using the military domestically, because establishment right wing, they love that. They loved it when Bush did it. It's they're a bunch of establishment types claiming they're left wing or right wing. They're not even in the left right paradigm. They're in the establishment's paradigm. And as you pointed out, Goldman Sachs is going to betray them.
Right. If you go amongst the top of the top, you know, they hate each other because this guy has got $1 billion more than this guy.
Exactly. But briefly, why did you get out of it? Briefly.
Well, I don't really feel as though I ever have gotten out of it. My point, I feel that gold and silver are going to be incredible winners.
But you say you did bad things on the stock market. Why did you stop doing that?
Oh, well, I went on vacation to Paris back in 1990, and I fell in love with Paris, and I just said, it's not worth it. I'm going to retire, and I retired.
And now you expose what was going on. Well, Max Keiser, MaxKeiser.com, thank you so much for the time. Hopefully we can do an hour interview in the near future. People find out more at MaxKeiser.com. Find out more with us at Infowars.com tonight, 7 o'clock. Prometheus, it's something special. Infowars Nightly News. Thank you, Max.
All right, Al.